Hello everyone and welcome to the Smashing Business Show. Today is Thursday, June 12th, 2025. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Warid Ahmed, and we've got a packed show for you today. Firstly, we're going to be discussing how NVIDIA has approved UAE's G42-backed Khazna to host its most advanced AI chips. Secondly, Imar by Mohammed Al-Abbar has launched Viome, a digital resale platform to transform property transactions. And we're going to be discussing how the Syrian founder, Yasmin Jisri, baked Dubai's most beloved digital dessert brand. And finally, there was this debate over Saudi fast food giant Al-Baik's dual logos.
And the very first story, the very big story, we just saw when U.S. President Donald Trump visited that an AI campus was announced. And small details of it are now starting to emerge. And this is the very first of the details that has come out. So NVIDIA, big giant chip makers, US-based, the global leaders in AI chip making basically have officially approved that Khazna data centers in the UAE will host its most powerful GPU architecture yet, the Blackwell chips. So it's backed, basically Khazna data centers is backed by Abu Dhabi-based G42. And Khazna now becomes one of the first regional operators authorized to deploy this next generation AI infrastructure.
So the Blackwell chips are designed to support massive AI workloads, enabling faster training of large language models, real-time inference, and generative applications. So the approval follows Khazna's earlier plan to actually roll out NVIDIA certified data center blueprints across the Middle East and Africa, putting the company at the center of the region's AI push.
And this is a major validation of Khazna's capabilities. Already the largest hyperscale data center provider in the Middle East, Khazna now joins an elite group of global platforms trusted by NVIDIA. For the UAE, it's another step in establishing the country as a sovereign AI infrastructure leader and innovation hub.
So Khazna plans to integrate the Blackwell chips into a new generation of AI-ready data centers now under construction across the UAE and beyond. It also aims to offer GPU as a service, allowing startups, enterprises, and public institutions access to cutting-edge compute power without major upfront investment.
And looking ahead, Khazna will expand this offering into Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and even Europe. With NVIDIA's backing, G42's infrastructure arm is helping position the UAE as a global AI gateway for enterprise, healthcare, finance, and beyond.
I think what's interesting about this actually is if you don't know the story, Khazna was created as a joint venture between G42 and Ittisalat Group to actually provide the largest, strongest data centers across the Middle East and Africa. So the fact that now Khazna, is going to be provided with the best NVIDIA chips in the world, like, this is so powerful. And G42, it's chaired by His Highness Sheikh Tahnoon, and the CEO, his name, do you remember his name, Majid? It's at the G42
the CEO.
Peng Zhao. So I actually remember that when earlier on this year, when His Highness Sheikh Tahnoon visited Washington to meet with Elon Musk, Larry Fink, Donald Trump, and they signed that entire $1 trillion UAE-US investment deal over the next decade, Peng Zhao, the CEO of G42, was also there. So this entire project, it's big because it's been in the making for a while.
Yeah.
They've been fighting to get access to those NVIDIA chips for a while, and it's good to see that they finally succeeded.
And the story that Bert told you, that it was a joint venture between G42 and EAN, the funny thing that I found was that it was 2021 when this happened, the whole thing surfaced. And even at that point, data centers weren't the cool thing, right?
Yeah.
If you go back like 4 or 5 years, after COVID, no one knew about AI. ChatGPT wasn't launched. A lot of things were different. And even at that time, they were thinking like 10 years ahead, and they were like, okay, we need data centers, or we need something like this, or maybe we will need them. And they made this, and Khazna data centers, they're making the biggest. I remember I did a story like very back, like August or September last year, and they are planning to make the UAE's largest data center in terms of size covered, area covered, in Ajman. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so that thing I remember. And Khazna Data Centers has been in the news a lot because, again, G42 backed and whatever thing right now G42 touches turns into gold. So, yeah, that's one of the biggest stories. And it's important because finally we have small details of how this 5 gigawatt whole US-UAE AI campus, which is going to be the world's biggest after US in the world, right? So it's interesting. More news will come out. Eventually, we will know how the whole 5 gigawatt AI campus will look. What will it have? I think OpenAI is the first one to be there to like host their data there. So that they already have a client even before they've started building it. So it's good. But yeah, before we move on, just recently I was sitting outside like 2 minutes ago, and there's a story on the information. It's behind a paywall, so it's very difficult to read it, but very good. Thank you to Reuters that they covered it. MGX is basically going for funding OpenAI. The interesting part is not that. We've reported a lot that MGX is trying to increase its stake in OpenAI. They've already invested once or twice. But the good thing is that risk includes other players now also. And they're trying to get 400 million or something. I don't remember the exact number. I have it open, actually. So, yeah, they're trying to... OpenAI is going for a $40 billion financing. So MGX is part. Everyone knew that. Surprise is Saudi PIF.
Really?
Saudi PIF is also thinking of going and investing in OpenAI, finally.
You know what, Majid? Honestly, it makes so much sense because I saw recently how OpenAI recorded reoccurring revenue of $10 billion.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I mean, why would you not want to be a part of that?
Yeah. Everyone wants to be a part of them right now, I think. And there's another interesting character which has jumped in, and it's the Reliance Industries from India. Not related to Middle East, but it's just that every big conglomerate or every big company which has money to spare, they're trying to get step into the AI world. Mm. So Reliance Industries, PIF, MMGX, these are the big three names.
Let me see
if there's anyone
Hold
else.
Hold on. This is really interesting. You know why? A while ago, we did this story about how MIS, a Saudi company, Al Mu'mar Information Systems Co., sold its entire stake in OpenAI for $8.4 million. Now, they had actually bought the investment for $3.4 million. Yeah. So we know that they gained an investment for this from this. And this was actually revealed by Tadawul. And I remember I was sitting in the show with Richard discussing this. And he made this really interesting theory that what if... this is not them actually giving up their stake, but rather giving it up to somebody else in Saudi Arabia to take that foothold.
Mm.
Does that make sense? And now we're hearing that they have that
when you
open,
connect the dots.
It's like when you actually think about it, this is crazy. And now you're telling me that OpenAI is going for a funding round. And now PIF, wants to step in.
Yeah.
I think
somehow they bought it, or some subsidiary bought it.
I'm thinking about it, and honestly, it's all connecting
I think
right now.
Hopefully, PIF will go in through Humane. Yeah. We talked to the CEO, did an interview with him. He told us about how they're also bringing NVIDIA employees to Saudi to work. It's on our newsletter. We'll republish it. We'll repost it also.
Yeah.
Because now with this story, it makes sense. So they have a now company which is completely AI-focused, Humane. So most probably they will, if they invest, it is reported that they will. But if they invest, it will be through Humane.
Yeah.
And there's more to this this is the $40 billion funding round that they're doing. But in 2027, they also have a plan to raise $17 billion more. So they're just raising money. And people are giving them money. That's the good part, I think. They're happy that we're getting a lot of money. And let's see. Reuters basically asked OpenAI, PIF, Reliance, India's Reliance Industry, MGX, and SoftBank, all of them, they asked them, like, is there any truth to this news reported by the information? And they haven't replied yet. But we will soon, like in a day or two, we will know as soon as the funding round closes and everyone chips in there. Billions for the $40 billion thing. But yeah, moving on, talking about technology, digitalization, and all that, we can't skip Emaar Properties' new initiative. It's called VYOM, so you can pronounce it as it's comfortable for you. But VYOM, what I think is the best pronunciation, maybe. Users can list their MR properties online, upload images, manage inquiries directly without needing traditional third-party agents. The platform aims to offer a more transparent, secure, and seamless resale experience for both buyers and sellers.
So the platform that they just launched, it's so exciting because what it's actually doing is it's enhancing direct engagement between property owners and prospective buyers. So by removing intermediaries, VYOM empowers customers with greater autonomy, faster transactions, and a clearer view of market dynamics. Now, it also supports verified listings to ensure trust across the platform.
And Imar says, VYOM is not just a tech tool, but a new way of thinking about property resale. It reflects the company's broader strategy of leveraging innovation to improve customer experience and streamline property ownership journeys worldwide.
Imar founder Mohammed Al-Abbar said, VYOM is more than a platform. It's a new way of thinking about property resale. It puts autonomy, trust, and speed into the hands of our customers. Now, the launch positions Imar as a digital pioneer in the evolving global real estate market. Honestly, Majid, I have been waiting for them to do this for a while.
I think these are the first. Everyone will do it. Because right now, if you go deep into the property market, you will realize that all the projects that are built by builders and developers, for example, I don't want to name them because sometimes they listen and they're like, why did you take our name? But every developer in the market, they select like two or three resellers, the property companies, seller companies. They partner with Property Finder. I can take their names. They don't mind. So Property Finder, Bayou, they'll always collaborate with them. And the developer or the maker of the building, he never sells anything by itself. They always hire third parties. So now, this is a resale platform. Obviously, they're not selling the new ones. But if I go and if I buy an apartment and I want to resell it, I can use this platform. They're basically cutting out the middleman. Because every middleman, the more parties you include in the middle, everyone takes a stake. Now, Imar resale properties, all the money will directly go to Imar because I think they will have processing fees. I didn't try the platform. I opened the website only, but I will try and tell you what it actually does. If they have processing fees, if they are taking the money that went to those third parties, those property companies, or the agents who will now suffer because they can't resell Imar properties, they can. Legally, they can.
You know,
operationally,
what, Majid?
They can. Honestly, but people will prefer this, right?
I would prefer this because of the fact that I was speaking to a lot of people who want to buy homes, and they're like, we're not going to always go to a real estate agent. There are so many of them. We know what their purpose is. We know what they want to do. And that is why I feel like in the real estate industry, it's either you're doing really well.
Or you're not doing it at all.
You're doing really bad. As you said, you're not doing anything at all. And now that you have platforms like this that exist, I think that it's a leeway for people to not get ripped off either. Yeah. Because on a platform, you're going to get the brief.
Yeah.
You're going to get the exact brief of what you're buying, the exact details. You're not going to get that dramatic flair and, you know, that real estate agents give you. You're just going to get the truth. And I think that that's what people want to buy into nowadays.
Basically, you won't buy an apartment because your real estate agent came out of a Lamborghini and has a Rolex on his hand. You'll buy the apartment because the apartment actually has this value.
They're sneaky. They'll act like you're their, you're their friend, that they want to give you something like. And as they should, it's their job. Yeah. I don't judge them.
Sales is tricky, I know that way. But it's a good platform. Covering it is one of the reasons is that this will eventually happen to every developer and builder. Everyone will come up with their own platform to resell their properties. And maybe...
I think that's already happened, by the way.
Everyone has their websites, the portfolios are there, the projects are there, but it's easier to outsource all of it. That is why they go to this property company and be like, oh, this is a building, we're having 1,000 apartments in it, mixed like one bedroom, studios, three, all those. And they just say half of this, like first five floors are yours, the next five floors you sell. They somehow divide it, or sometimes they just make an exclusive partnership with one property seller. And they're like, yeah, you sell the whole building. We don't care who you sell it to. This is what we want. So it's very easy to outsource it, not to hire so many agents who are selling your building. Just give it to a company which already has that whole operational setup. But reselling was always a problem, and they've solved this problem somehow. We'll see the effects as soon as it has hit the market, but we will need 1 or 2 months to see how the consumers respond. Mm-hmm. Because the main problem is that the consumers need to understand the platform and know how to do it. And some people are lazy. They don't want to take pictures of their house and put it online. They just want to hire an agent, and the agent will do everything for themselves. So it's not going to take out the agent part completely, but with anyone, like young buyers now, the young millionaires who are moving here, and also the young millionaires of this country who became millionaires here, they're very adept with technology. For them, taking 5 pictures and uploading them, it's a phone job, it's a 5-minute job.
No, that's so,
so for
true.
The new investors, the tech-savvy investors, who basically buy and sell properties and kind of make it a business, perfect for them. The older consumer age, my age, I would still be like, yeah, bro, take 2% of whatever I'm selling. Just do it for me because I don't have the time to do all of this. So they have a market. They've tapped into the market. Soon we'll see what happens. Just on this note, yeah, another story that we that happened yesterday was the tokenization thing. So basically, DLD with PRIPCO Mint, they're two separate entities. DLD is Dubai Land Department. PRIPCO Mint is a startup which is actually called PRIPCO. PRIPCO Mint is just a part of PRIPCO. It's by Amira Sajwani, who is the daughter of Hussain Sajwani, the Mac Group. She started a startup called PRIPCO. She had other things where you can take your rent and give it to... basically, you can finance your rent. So you won't have to pay like yearly things. PRIPCO will pay for you. So rent now, pay later, basically the platform.
But this is what I meant though, Majid. It's people have already caught up with this, you know? Like Amira Sajwani, she's caught up with this.
See, it's the newer generation.
And very interestingly, right before Muhammad Al-Abbar, she already caught up with it. So for me, when he launched it, I was like, okay, about time. It's like about time that out of everyone, you give us that platform.
But PRIPCO Mint is a little different. It's reselling, basically. What happened was PRIPCO Mint, they published one property, tokenized it. So they broke it into, for example, 1,000 parts on the blockchain. And now you own one piece of that property, maybe 2 tiles in the kitchen. But yeah, you can start investing with 2,000 dirhams. That's a very low entry point because in Dubai, if you're even going for a studio in the worst possible traffic-filled area without any metro, it will cost you 300 to 400,000 dirhams. So they've lowered the entry point. DLD partnered with them. It was a joint venture. In one press release said joint venture. In the other press release, it says that PRIPCO Mint is accredited by DLD's tokenization platform. So, but still, they're working together. That's the main important part. The funny thing is that the first property was sold within a day, but the next listing, which was in Kensington something area in Dubai, the property market price was 1.8. PRIPCO Mint bought it for us like good price, 1.5, and then they listed it, and people bought like parts of it. Another technical aspect is that you have to go and register on the DLD platform, and then you're put into a waiting list. You can't just sign up on the platform and just be like, okay, 2,000 dirhams, give me 2 tiles in this house. You have to literally wait for your opportunity to go and buy that fractional property through tokenization. There's, again, sorry, technical, but if you want to invest, it's a very nice way to understand it. There's platforms like Stake, they're world-renowned. They give you fractional properties, but they don't tokenize it. They just divide it on physical basis. But tokenization helps you keep track of literally everything. So it's just a basic different, but it's the same concept, fractional ownership. I own in this studio this laptop. I paid 2,000 dirhams for it. I own this seat space only. So eventually what happens is when the prices go up, for example, this specific apartment, we sold out in 1 minute 58 seconds. Very good. It's a record, Dubai record at least, and also I think Middle Eastern record. But you take the apartment, you pay 2,000 dirhams. Now, if the property price goes to 2 million, your 2,000 will get that percentage of appreciation. Make money. You can withdraw it or reinvest it into some other property.
You do make money. You know, I feel like we talk about making money all the time, but when you find founders who are homegrown and extremely inspiring, they're the best of stories. Yeah. So Syrian entrepreneur Yasmin Jisri has baked her way into Dubai's digital food scene with Bake My Day. Now, I know you're thinking, What do you mean by digital scene? So Bake My Day is one of the UAE's most popular online dessert brands. So what began as a passion project for Yasmin has grown into a full-fledged business that now delivers across the country.
And raised in Saudi Arabia and educated in the United Kingdom, Jisri left a corporate insurance career to pursue her love for nostalgic desserts. She launched Bake My Day in 2014 through WhatsApp, relying on word of mouth and repeat customers to build momentum.
So as demand surged, she took the brand digital in 2021 and moved production from her home kitchen to a dedicated facility in Dubai. Now, Jisri told Caterer Middle East, "I didn't want to sacrifice quality." You know, her point was basically that same quality we were maintaining in our home kitchen of people getting their cookies warm, I want to maintain that in a big kitchen.
And known for crowd favorites like the OG cookie, Lil Tito's, and her signature dessert tins, Bake My Day has carved out a loyal customer base. The brand's playful packaging and focus on comfort treats have made it a household name. And we're not customers, but we love it.
I am a customer.
She bought it yesterday.
I am a customer. I always get their cookies.
I've never bought it. Funnily, I love those cookies. I told my wife the other day that those are the yummiest, best warm cookies I've ever eaten. But I haven't ordered them, but now I will.
It's because we always get them in the office.
That's the good part.
So Jisri recently actually expanded her product line with BMD ice creams and is setting sights for a GCC expansion. I think what's so interesting about her story is I'm scrolling through their Instagram, Majid, and I find this video of Shark Tank Dubai.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're on Shark Tank, her and her husband. So from the video, I discovered, number one, she's Syrian. Number two, she's running the business with her husband.
Yeah.
And then I think what killed me the most is, who asked this? One of the judges, I think it was Noor Suwaid, but somebody asked, okay, when you guys make a decision, whose decision goes in the end? And they asked the husband this. They didn't ask her. And he was like, of course her. And they were like, it's really good that that you know that. Yeah. And then after that, what basically happened is they brought their cookies in. They made the judges taste their cookies. And it was Eli Khoury and Noor Suwaid who actually said, you know what? We're going to invest in your company. At first, they asked for a 25% stake or more. But then Yasmin and her husband, they countered it. They were like, at this moment, we are only willing to accept a 20% stake. And then after that, Noor Suwaid and Eli Khoury countered it and said, hey, then what about 22%?
Oh, okay.
We'll purchase 22%. We'll give you guys over 500K dirhams and we'll give you additional funds so you can launch a more credible marketing scheme. Because basically, Yasmin was talking about how with their company, they've been flying because people are supporting them, posting them online. But their issue is they need more marketing money. Mm. They haven't actually set a marketing budget. And I completely agree with that. Marketing is so important. Like, your business will fly more. But then what happened is they offered them 22% and funds for marketing outside of the actual investment. And they said yes on the show. But then when the show ended, they formally rejected it and they did not go through with it, which I find so interesting. What do you think changed their mind, Majid?
I think it's just like they didn't see the opportunity that they saw. It always happens with founders that someone will come till the last second. They'll be like, yes, yes, yes. At the very last moment when they're signing the check, they'll be like, no, I still have doubts and this and that. And I think it's good for founders because then they are like, okay, not relying on anyone. It's me, myself, and I, and I have to do
it.
And
they've done great, by the way. This was like a year ago or maybe 2 years ago. And now look how great they're doing.
I love their cookies.
They've opened three stores.
Crazy good.
But by the way, you know why their strategy is so smart? The reason why I call them a digital dessert brand is because of the fact that they made sure that they are on every single delivery app. Yeah. By the way, with dessert shops, and we've seen this with Fix Chocolate, they're only on delivery.
And only in a
Bake My Day is trying to be for the people, for all the people, on Talabat, on Kareem. They want to be everywhere. They want to be everywhere. They want to make their cookies accessible. And honestly, I feel like with something like cookies, you need that to be accessible.
Yeah.
How are you going to... It's evil if you make
that
difficult to get.
You can't wait for like 2 p.m. in the day and then order. And somehow, sometimes when you order, the stock is out because someone else ordered in bulk. So yeah, it's good that these brands are growing. And again, very nice to see that they're growing in Dubai. And it's not just Fix Chocolate. There's other brands in the market. And we're doing more stories. Worth has taken the onus of doing the food entrepreneurs. Because to be honest, it's the food is closest to the people's heart, I think.
It is.
Like water, the food is the best thing in the world, right?
If I don't have good food during my day, I don't consider it a good day.
Yeah, it's a bad day for you.
I mean it. Yeah. I do mean it. And it's right now, it's a really bad day for Saad Baghel. He has basically drawn criticism for claiming that Saudi fast food giant Al Baik is facing a brand identity crisis. So the Egyptian founder and brand strategist, he argued that the chain suffers from wearing two hats with no conviction, referring to its use of two distinct logos.
And he criticized the brand's nostalgic original emblem, linked deeply to Saudi memories, alongside a newer flattened yellow hat logo. Baghel described the newer design as commercialized and lacking emotional connection with customers.
I don't think any of us even care about that.
You only care about the chicken.
No, literally. In response, Saudi entrepreneur Touba Tirqli challenged Baghel's comments on LinkedIn. So Tirqli, founder of Saudi Arabia's first private entrepreneurship foundation, she's previously worked for Aramco, noted that Baghel's contradiction, reminding him that he has said previously, a brand is more than its logo.
Yes, and Tirqli also highlighted Saudi intellectual property laws, which require design adjustments to legally protect brands, an important factor Baghel overlooked in his critique.
So, and I think with Al Baik, its story is so beautiful because founded in 1974 by Palestinian Saudi Shakur Abu Ghazala, Al Baik introduced roasted chicken to the kingdom and has grown into a cultural icon. Today, they operate across Saudi Arabia, across the UAE, Bahrain, and Kuwait. And I think with their story, it's so beautiful because their founder, Majid, he actually arrived in Saudi from the Nakba in Palestine. And it's like, and you know what's so interesting? This is not the first time that I'm hearing this. I remember when I was reading into Khalaf al-Habtour's story into how he founded Al Habtour Motors into what became Al Habtour Group. He founded it with his Palestinian engineering friend.
Nice.
So it's really interesting how all of these Palestinian founders, they're so engraved into the Gulf. I think it's worth noting. But I think with this, you know what my opinion honestly is on this? Some people basically put forward the opinion that Baghel is, he got our attention. He got our attention and
that's what he wanted.
All negative PR is good PR and that this is what he really wants. It probably is what he wants, by the way. And he probably is a nice guy. But I think with this entire story, my issue with it is, why would you take something like Al Baik, which is so successful? It is so successful in the Middle East. I've never heard one person say something bad about it.
People my wife did, but she's born and brought up.
Imagine, why'd you throw her under the bus?
She didn't say bad things. Yeah. Basically, she's grown up in Saudi Arabia. And people who've grown up in Saudi Arabia, you bring them to the UAE and make them taste Al Baik, they're like, no, something is missing.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. She couldn't point it out, but she was like, it's not Al Baik. It's good Al Baik, but it's not the greatest Al Baik that you eat in Saudi Arabia. And then we went to Saudi Arabia, and she literally made me taste it. And I was like, something is different. I don't know what that is. I think it's just that ingredients, they're in Saudi Arabia, within Saudi Arabia, they quickly go and they're fresher.
Yeah.
Transporting them here, and then I think maybe in that freezing process.
I'm not sure they're transporting chicken.
Yeah, something maybe happens in between. I think because they... the whole cycle of production, chicken breading, making, it's not just done by hands, it's done in factories. I think they don't have a factory or the raw material production here. So they make the nuggets, freeze them, send them to UAE, and they just fry it. So I think something is lost in that process.
That's a good point.
And that is what I told my wife, like that this freshness or the taste that you're talking about, it's something with that. But they're still good. I love their nuggets, fish nuggets, chicken nuggets. They're like one of the greatest I've found.
This is what I mean. Look at the way you're talking about it. You know why I have an issue? I understand that he's trying to get hype. A lot of people responded to the post, and it got very famous. But in the end of the day, think of it like this. Even I, Majid, I am aware of companies around me, within my scope, that are that if I just added a comment, I added my commentary, I would make them look really bad.
Yeah.
I would, if I just said something. I don't understand why, as an Arab founder, you would go out of your way to spotlight the failures of another company. Yeah. Or in this case, I don't even think he's spotlighting a failure. So what if they have two logos? I don't even think any of us noticed. It's just more of the fact, it's more of the fact of, oh, it's failing at this. Why do you need to put out that negative news angle?
To be honest,
I don't think it's necessary.
I think he had good intentions. When I read the post, the only like light or the only good thing I saw was maybe he was just trying to point out the branding aspect. But obviously, when you touch something like Albeck, if you touch something like Imar, if you touch something, a big brand, make my day. If you touch it and you try to take just one point, like this could have been better, everyone will talk about the whole thing.
Yeah.
So if you're just talking about logo, maybe there's 1% chance that he was making sense that maybe they should have one logo or maybe it was too flat or whatever.
His entire
he could have started with it. Like,
imagine,
please don't
been,
think I'm just saying about the logo.
It literally could
nothing
have been,
else.
I love Albeck, guys. Have you noticed how they have two logos? Ha ha. Are we sure that this is good for their brand? Done. He did not need to write an entire essay criticizing it and calling it a failure.
Yeah.
You know, they're
just on branding level.
Exactly.
Chicken-wise, they're good. Chicken-wise, they're not failing. You go to any UAE branch of theirs, MOE.
Yeah.
I think they're now in Dubai Mall as well. You can't take it in like 5 minutes. You'll have to go through the whole circles of line and then you'll reach the counter and you'll get it. So it shows how famous it is. But yeah, branding wise, maybe he made 1% sense. Maybe. Not agreeing with him. But yeah, otherwise, the whole brand is centered around taste. So
it is.
Didn't touch.
I think even with their branding, they're doing extremely great.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap for today. Thank you so much for tuning into the Smashy Business Show. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels and at Smashy Business. And stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. A big shout out to our 1.5 million monthly listeners across all platforms. You make this possible. If you're one of them, we appreciate you. Have a great day. We'll see you on Friday.